You can't pray like you ought to pray unless you know the word.
Dr. Tony Evans says the most effective prayer is based on the Bible.
90% of many of our prayers could be thrown in the trash can because they have nothing to do with God's revealed revelation.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. Dr. Evans says praying with our children at bedtime and before meals is good, but it's not enough. Today, he'll talk about the kind of prayer that gives us real access to God's authority. You'll want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we begin.
Jesus Christ has granted Christians authority in heaven. Not our own authority, the delegation of His authority, which means it's dependent upon His power. God has given us a wardrobe of authority, attire, clothes to put on, 6 pieces of armor, 3 that you're never to take off, 3 that you are to pick up as needed. The first 3 that you are to never take off has to do with the belt of truth. There must be an objective standard by which you make pragmatic decisions. Righteousness, that your new identity in Christ, whereby you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, is to inform how you live. And then he goes on to say that there is a carrying of our feet with the shoes of the gospel, the peace of God that should govern our decision-making when we're operating according to God's truth. But then take up, that is, have close enough to get you when you need it. God has given you a powerful way to access the authority that you possess, but he's only given you one way to do it. It's not by programs. It's not by techniques. It's not by formulas. It's not by doing some magical act. We must start at that which God has given us that works in heavenly places. And he's only given one thing. That's why after the discussion of the armor, Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. In the spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. So then what is prayer? What is it? How can we make this thing called prayer simple? Prayer is simply communication with God. That's it. Through prayer, you gain access to God's authority. Through prayer, you engage, catch this, the spiritual realm. Now, I don't know why God did it. I can't answer this question, but God decided that there were certain things he would not do apart from prayer. Some of you asked the question because you've asked me, well, if God's going to do what he wants to do anyway, why pray? Answer, he's decided that he won't do certain things without it. See, without asking, you can do it yourself. What prayer does is it shows dependency and gains you access. Let me tell you the story. You don't have to turn there, but in Daniel 9, Daniel had a problem. The people of Israel were in captivity, and it was a big problem. So Daniel said in his heart in verses 2 and 3 of Daniel chapter 9 that he was going to take this mess to God. And he got on his knees, and he bent down, and he says, now, God, we're in a mess. But verse 2 says before he prayed, he opened his Bible to the book of Numbers. Because before he prayed ignorantly, he wanted to find out what God had said on the matter so he could put God on the spot. Do you know that prayer gives you the chance to put God on the spot? When is the last time you back God up into a corner? You say, wait a minute, you can't back God up into a corner. Oh, yes, you can. Ask Moses. God told Moses, look, I'm going to destroy Israel. Moses said, you can't do that. I pray tell, why not Mo? Why can't I do that? You can't do that because if you do that, then the nations all around Israel are going to laugh at us. And they're going to say that God was big enough to get them out of Egypt. He was big enough to open up the Red Sea, but he wasn't big enough to take them through the wilderness. And if you do that, your name is going to look bad and you will be an embarrassment among the gods. And so in your own best interest, God, I say that that is not a good idea. I think you ought to preserve your people. You ought to forgive your people. I think we can approach this another way. And the next phrase is, and when God heard Moses, God changed his mind. When is the last time you backed the guard up against a corner? And you say, well, how did that really work? It really worked because Moses understood God's nature. So Daniel prays. And the Bible says, as soon as Daniel opened up his mouth to pray, God told Gabriel, go answer. Angels were activated by prayer. He got down to pray, but we have a problem. Because according to Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, a demon met Gabriel and put up a block in front of him, put up a defensive line to stop him from answering Daniel's prayer. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. And so the demon, the prince of Persia, blocked him. So powerful was the demon against God's angel Gabriel that Gabriel had to send back to heaven for help. And so God said, Mikey, that's Michael. Now you got to understand why he called Michael, because see, Satan is an archangel. That is, he's a high ranking. He's a bad dude. So he got Michael, who's also an archangel. Michael, why don't you, archangel, go meet the other archangel and let him know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in him. So finally, Gabriel breaks through, comes to Daniel. Daniel's frustrated because he's been praying for 3 weeks. He says, for 3 weeks I've been on my knees and nothing happened. Anybody here like that? Anybody been praying and nothing has happened? And you thought God forgot about you? God didn't forget about you. There are defensive linemen in heaven trying to stop the angels of God from bringing the answer from God to you. Keep on praying, because one day God's going to call Mike. And when Mike breaks through, prayer is necessary because the battle is spiritual. Focusing on flesh and blood is the wrong focus. When you pray properly, it is a restraining order against the powers of darkness. Prayer is your withdrawal slip against the backdrop of Christ's deposit. And if you don't know $1 million spiritual dollars have been put in your spiritual bank account, you're going to live like a spiritual pauper when you could have been a spiritual millionaire. So the significance of prayer is that it gains you access. Let's look at the scope of prayer. Verse 18. All prayer, all times, all perseverance, all saints. Key word is what? All. The scope of prayer. If you're going to see this thing work, then prayer cannot be an addendum or an attachment. It must be the controlling agenda. Paul put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. The key word is all. First of all types of prayer. All prayers. You know, in the Bible, prayers came every which way. They were praying standing, praying kneeling, praying laying prostrate, praying walking. You know, you can pray driving. You can pray in your mind without even moving your mouth because you're praying with your mind and thought. Prayer involves thanksgiving, it involves praise, it involves supplication, it involves intercession. He is saying, bombard the heavenlies with prayer. That's not what we do. When a country is in a war, they don't launch one missile. They bombard, they pound with missiles. Because those missiles keep the enemy back. You are to bombard the heavenlies with prayer. He says, all types. And he says, on all occasions, pray when you feel like it. And pray when you don't. Pray when you want to. Pray when you don't want to. Pray when you feel like praying. Pray when you don't feel like praying. You say, but if I don't feel like praying, how can I pray? Tell God I don't feel like praying. Because when you tell God you don't feel like praying, you just pray because you had to tell him that. Bombard the heavenlies with prayer on all occasions.
We'll hear another illustration of how powerful prayer really is when we continue with our message from Dr. Evans in just a moment. First, if your bombardment of prayer doesn't seem to be turning the tide, there may be a spiritual obstacle in your way that you can't even see. Tony will help you identify and deal with it in his powerful book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. He'll shine a revealing light on the devil's tricks and tactics and equip you to start winning victories on battlefields like marriage issues, money problems, even depression or addiction. Right now, when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry, we'd like to say thanks by sending you a copy of Victory in Spiritual Warfare, along with all 12 full-length messages on CD or instantly downloadable MP3s from Tony's current 2-volume audio series on spiritual warfare. Together, these powerful resources are a great way to dig deeper into what we've been learning. This special offer is only available for a limited time, so visit TonyEvans.org today or call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. It never closes, so there's no need to wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. We'll hear more from Dr. Evans right after this.
In a world shrouded by fear, prophecy seeks to make sense of it all. Dr. Tony Evans' latest book, Thy Kingdom Come, reveals the secrets to deliver us through dark times. Now is the time to gain clarity in the midst of confusion. Be prepared for what's to come by picking up your copy of Thy Kingdom Come at TonyEvans.org. Comes with a bonus sermon series, Staying Right with God. Arm yourself against the impending storm.
Anybody who's serious about prayer knows something. It's work. Why you think it's so much work? I'll tell you why it's work, because it's war. Satan doesn't want you praying. That's why sometimes you get on your face and your mind be going every which way. You can't even focus on what you're doing. So he will distract you. That's one way. Another way he will do it is he will make you too tired to pray. Because Satan understands that if you ever bombard the heavenlies with prayer, you're going to knock him back. You're going to force him back. He won't be able to do his thing if you keep bombarding him like that. By the way, the more intimate the relationship, the easier the prayer. Still work. Anybody who's married knows this. Remember when you were dating, you used to communicate all the time? That's right. Because you used to like each other. That's why. You communicated all the time because you used to like each other. Now, how was your day? Fine. What'd you do today? Nothing. Huh? The lack of communication reflects the lack of relationship. People will say, well, why don't you talk? It's a simple answer why the other person doesn't talk. Because the relationship has been interrupted. And that's what's happened. You know why the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't see miracles anymore? It's not because God doesn't do miracles. It's because we don't know how to work from the heavenlies. When you pray, you enter into a whole nother realm. You enter into the heavenlies. And anyone who has taken an airplane knows that the higher you get, the more orderly things look below you. See, once you take a high enough flight, you get a different perspective. We've been on the ground too long. That's why we can't see anything. We have the wisdom from below, not the power from above, where Christ is. In heavenly places. And so we don't see what God is doing. We only see, well, he shouldn't have said that to me. I don't have to take that. See, all we did was look below. We didn't take a flight to heavenly places. Because up in heavenly places, God will tell you that that person has a messed up need in their life where they need some grace, not just you to retaliate. But you only get that from up there. He says, pray for all saints. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is not my Father who is in heaven, it's our Father who art in heaven. Whenever you become a selfish Christian where you're the only one you are praying for, God's not going to help you because this is a family affair. And that's why it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, I'm not in this by myself. We are in this together. And that is why praying as a congregation is so important, where we are concerned about the needs of others so we can celebrate how God used our prayers for them so that they can celebrate how God used their prayers for us. It's a collective thing. So if you only pray for you, God won't help you to become a more selfish Christian. Finally, the sphere of prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now that sounds rather ethereal. How do you know you are praying in the Spirit? Well, in the Spirit is always contrasted in Scripture with in the flesh. You must be in the Spirit. Now hold your Bibles here and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Things which I have not seen, verse 9 says, ear hath not heard, which hath not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, for God revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches the deep things of God. Who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things we speak, not in the words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. If you're going to pray in the Spirit, a couple of things have to be present. Spiritual thinking. He says spiritual thoughts. He says if you think like the world, you're going to pray like the world, or act like the world, so you won't be in the Spirit. If you're going to be in the Spirit, you must have a mindset that is reflecting the thinking that comes from God and not the thinking that comes from the world. We still have too many secular saints. And guess what we're doing in Christianity? Defining deviancy down. God's standard is up here. And if the world keeps going down, you're not just supposed to go down and just stay a little above it. You're supposed to stay up here. As long as you have secular thinking, then you'll have a secular result. You must have spirit thoughts. Now, how do you get spirit thoughts? He says they come combined with spiritual words. In other words, you get spirit's thoughts from the Scripture. The only way you're going to get spiritual thinking is from a spiritual book. So now watch this. You can't pray like you ought to pray unless you know the word. 90% of many of our prayers could be thrown in the trash can because they have nothing to do with God's revealed revelation. If you don't know the word, then you won't be praying right, and God is not going to bless your prayer unless it's consistent with his word. So what you must do is be captivated by the mind of Christ, which comes in the spiritual words of God, so that you are addressing the Spirit's concerns the Spirit's way. Turn to Acts chapter 4 in closing. The believers are being persecuted. They've now been released in verse 23, and look what happens. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now watch this. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, look at the theology. It is thou who did make heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them. Now, they've been threatened. They've been beaten. Who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of David, thy servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage? And the people devised futile things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers, they gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, guess what? Did you just see what happened? They're praying. They say, God, before we tell you about the mess we're in, let me tell you how great you are. We're in a mess, but you're a big God. Now, God, in case you forgot the Bible that you had written, let us quote back to you one of your verses. In other words, we're going to put you on the spot with your own word. Verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their threats, because you already told us what you're going to do, and grant thy servants boldness that we may speak with all confidence. We're going to do what we're supposed to do, but we need help from you to do it. While you extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. Now catch verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they're in the Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Do you see what happened? When you pray right, something got to shake. Verse 31 says, the place shook. How come we don't see places shaken today? How don't we see impossible homes that can't be brought together shaken and people falling back in love today? How come we see people addicted and they can't get off of it today? How come we see people depressed and they can't get out of it today? I'll tell you why, because we don't talk to the same God that these men talk to. They talked to a God where they would reach into the Bible, pull out the appropriate verse, and tell God about it. And because you said it, God, I'm going to believe you're going to do it. A little boy one day went with his father to the amusement park. And the father went to the ticket booth and brought some tickets. Father said, "Lord, son, I'll keep the tickets. You go and you ride. As you need the tickets, come back, and so you don't lose them, I'll give them to you." So he took some tickets and went on some rides. While the father was waiting for his son to come back, a young man who the father had never seen before came over to the father and said, "I'd like to have 4 tickets. Father says, "4 tickets? These are for my son. I don't know you. You can't have these tickets. These are for my boy." Just then, the son came. "Oh, it's okay. That's my friend John from school. I told him you had the tickets, that he could come over and ask you for the tickets. He just forgot to tell you I sent him." You ain't praying with me. Some of us need some tickets. Some of us need God to hand out some things to help us to enjoy the rides of life. Some of us can't afford to get on the roller coaster. We can't afford to get on the Ferris wheel. We can't afford to get on the wild mouse. We don't know what a good time in life looks like. We don't know what victory looks like. We don't know what strength looks like. And it doesn't look like we can get any tickets from God. But that's why you gotta close your prayers in the name of Jesus. You gotta have somebody the Father knows to come over to you and say, "Daddy, I know who he is. That's my brother. He came to me on the cross and he yielded his life to me, and you can give him some tickets." And when you come to God in the name of Jesus, he'll give you some tickets so you can get on the ride and have victory in your life. He'll let you ride. He'll let you ride. If you come in the name of Jesus Christ, he'll let you ride. Because he's gained victory for us in heavenly places.
Dr. Tony Evans has been talking about the secret to entering the presence of God today. And if that's something you're ready to do, he's here with a special word for you about how to get started.
If you've been listening to the broadcast and you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we can resolve that right now. I'm going to say a little prayer. I want you to pray it after me, but you've got to mean it for yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior because I can't save myself. So right now, I trust you alone because you died for me and arose for me to be my sin bearer. You are now my substitute. And I'm believing you to forgive my sin and to give me eternal life. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you have given to me. Help me to live a life to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, and we'll keep ministering to you for your spiritual growth through our broadcast. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer right now, let me encourage you to visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. There you can download some free follow-up resources that'll help you get your brand new life started right. And while you're on the website, be sure to look into getting a copy of Tony's current teaching series called Spiritual Warfare, a set of 12 messages that'll help you readjust your spiritual armor. It contains today's full-length message, as well as plenty of material we won't have time to present on the air. As I mentioned earlier, it's yours with our thanks when you make a donation toward the Alternative Broadcast Ministry. And as a special bonus, we'll also include a copy of Victory in Spiritual Warfare, a powerful book from Dr. Evans that builds on what we've been learning in this series of lessons. Take advantage of this special bundle of resources when you visit TonyEvans.org or call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Or online at TonyEvans.org. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will outline 3 specific steps we need to take to break free from the habits and history that can turn us into spiritual prisoners of war. I hope you'll join us.